I have been going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, and going through the 8 I am statements that was made by the Lord Jesus. And we started with the one in chapter 8. Jesus proclaimed to a group of Jewish rabbis and people and saying to them that I am, using the word of the name of God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they were so angry, they took up stones, they wanted to kill him. But his time was not yet, and he was able to depart from there safely. And then we went to chapter 6, where we talk about when Jesus declared himself to be the bread of life. We knew that he fed 5,000, and the 5,000 were filled, and they wanted to make him king even, so that they can continue to have bread. But Jesus declared to them that I am the bread of life, that they should eat of him and they should drink of him. If they do that, they will never be hungry again. So instead of focusing their eyes on the physical bread, he wants them to focus on him as the one that gives life. And then we spoke about the woman that was caught in adultery, and he was brought before the crowd, and they were challenging Jesus to what to do with her. And after Jesus saved her, rescued her, Jesus went on to proclaim himself to be the light of the world, that those who come to him will not dwell in darkness. And then in chapter 10 of John, we saw Jesus declare himself to be the door, that those who go through him can go in and out and find pasture. He made this statement, and plus a statement afterwards, that I am the good shepherd. When a man was born blind, was healed of his blindness. He was born blind, and he could see. But the Pharisees and scribes around him, they cannot see. This man can see Jesus, the one who healed him, is the Christ. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they were blind to him. They can't see that he is the door, the only door that have the access to God. And they can't see that he is the one who is a good shepherd, who is willing to lay down his life for them. And then we saw the record of Lazarus, one of Jesus' friends, good friend, the friend that he loves, and he died. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, but the Lord Jesus was able to come to his town. And before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he declared himself to be, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he went on and called Lazarus out of the tomb. That is the power of the Lord Jesus. Today we're going to consider in John chapter 14, Jesus' statement that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the central figure in John's gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us about him, and especially he proclaimed in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. So we can see that it is something very personal to John. It is personal to John the disciple. And at that time, he was already very old, very elderly. But when he looked back, he said, Jesus is the one that he had heard, that his eyes has looked upon, that his hand has handled. It is a very personal Christ that he was talking about. And when we say we're going to consider Christ, we have to consider him that way. It's a personal Savior who loves us so much that he has given his life to us. So John encountered Jesus in a very personal way. So when we read these statements of the Lord Jesus, don't take them as slogans given to masses of people. But each one of his statements of I am is spoken, was spoken to us for our own benefit. He spoke them to us personally. So when we look at the Lord Jesus' I am statements, we have to think about what is the relationship of those statements to my own life. Today we'll be looking at Jesus' statements that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this statement was made in the conversation that he had with the disciples on the night that he was to be betrayed. Just before his death on the cross. So he was spending time with his disciples for the Last Supper that night. And we know that the Lord Jesus loved the disciples and he even washed their feet, including the one who was going to betray him, Judas. So he washed their feet and then he declared to them that one of them is going to betray him. And then Judas left the room. It was after Judas left the room that Jesus spoke these words. So these words was given to the disciples, to those who believe in him. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to verse 4, we start there. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, Jesus began with saying, let not your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? Because truly, the disciples' hearts were troubled. They were really troubled. Why were they troubled? Because in the previous chapter, in the conversation that Jesus had before this, he was telling them something that really concerned, make them very, very worried. He was telling them that he is going to be with them just for a little while, and then they will look for him, but they will not be able to find him. He will go somewhere that the disciples will not be able to go as well. And when Peter asked him where he was going, Jesus said to him that he could not go, but they will be able to follow him later. And in all his boldness, Peter said, I will go with you wherever you go. I will even be willing to die for you, to lay down my life for you. But Jesus looked at him and said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And then when he went on to say, let not your heart be troubled. He did not want them to be troubled because they knew that he is saying something that they have never heard before. They were deeply troubled because they were anxious. What if the Lord Jesus truly is going away and that they have to continue going on without his presence? They knew there was danger abound because even before they came back to Jerusalem, they knew that people are trying to kill him. So they were worried not just for his own safety, but their own safety as well. So they were afraid and they were troubled. But the Lord Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And he comforted them saying that he is going away to prepare a place for them. And then he will receive them to himself. Then Thomas said in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? So here Thomas asking a very sensible question because Jesus hasn't told them yet where he was going. Thomas said, tell us where you're going so that we may know how to go, because we do not know the way. When Billy Graham was a young preacher, one day he went to a small town to preach. And that day he has to go and send a letter. Yes, those days they still write letters and still send letters, not just press a button and say send. But because he was new to the town, he did not know where the post office is. He couldn't find any post box on the roadside. So he saw a young boy and asked the young boy, say, young man, can you tell me where the post office is? And the young boy was very helpful. He took him by the hand and then took him to the post office nearby so that Billy Graham can post a letter. And Billy thanked him and then said to him, young man, if you come tonight to the church, I will tell you about how to go to heaven. And the young boy looked at him and said, I don't think so. I don't think I will come. Billy said, why not? He said, you see, the post office is so close, and yet you do not know where the post office is. Heaven is so far away. How can you tell me where heaven is? How do you know where heaven is? It's a very logical answer. But what the boy did not know is that Billy Graham knows the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is the way. He knows the way to heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6 to verse 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, there's a bit of a processing going. You can see here that we can hear the mind thinking in the disciples' minds. What was he talking about? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. But obviously the disciples did not process that very well. So Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us the Father. Now, does Philip know what he was asking? Philip was asking for the biggest revelation of all. We know that no one has seen God at any time. Not even Moses, who found favor in God's eyes. Moses asked to see God, and he only got to see the back of God. So Philip was asking the biggest revelation, which is God. But Jesus already told him, when you see me, you have seen the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9 and verse 10, the first part of verse 10. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now at this, you can hear a bit of disappointment and even a bit of annoyance in Jesus' voice. Of course, we do not really know, because when a person says something, we do not know the tone of voice and the expression of his face. But here, the Lord Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? 3.5 years you have followed me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? No wonder Jesus said later that I still have many things to say to you, but I won't do it now. I will say it later because you cannot bear them now. You see, the disciple has been following the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. They have listened to what he said. They have seen all the miracles that he performed, but still they are still in a bit of a dark of who the Lord is and why he is here. Just like many people who come to church, they may even read the Bible and they maybe hear the word of God preached to them, but a lot of them do not have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. So what they have was a bit of a knowledge about the Lord Jesus, but they have yet to go into the reality of knowing the Lord Jesus' presence in their life and what that meant for the way they should live their life. So this disciple has been following the Lord Jesus for 3 years. What Jesus was saying to them that for the last 3.5 years, you are actually walking with God. You are eating with God. You are hearing God speaks. You are seeing God did the miracles before your own eyes. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Because none of the things that I say, none of the things that I did is possible unless the Father himself worked through me. So this is the revelations that the Lord Jesus wanting his disciples to know and to understand. Jesus then asked them to consider two things. Chapter 14, verse 10, second part of verse 10 says, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So here the Lord Jesus asked them to consider two things. The words that he spoke to them and the works that he performed. So what are the words that the Lord Jesus said to them? Well, just now we have gone through quite a few of them. He declared to them that I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And in this very context, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these statements are exclusive statements. Exclusive meaning that he spoke with authority, and there's no alternative to what he claimed himself to be. When a lot of the disciples who followed him departed and no longer followed him, after Jesus said to them that you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, are you also leaving? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go to? You have the word of eternal life. And we come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew in his heart that what Jesus claimed is true, even though he could not fully understand. Then the Lord Jesus asked him to consider the works that he did. And we know that in John's Gospel, 8 miraculous signs were recorded to point us to Jesus as the Son of God, as the God incarnate. He changed water into wine. He healed the royal officer's son. He healed the paralytic that was paralyzed for 38 years by the pool. Then he fed over 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he walked on the water towards the disciples. He was able even to calm the storm by the word of his command. Then we saw him healing a man who was born blind. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. And last of all, the sign of Jonah, the Lord Jesus' resurrection from the dead. C.S. Lewis said it is very foolish to say that Jesus is a great moral teacher. It's foolish to say that he is a moral teacher. Because when you examine what he say, he couldn't possibly be just a great moral teacher. Because he was making claims that either make him a lunatic or a liar. But he made those claims, and yet he was able to back it up with the works that he did. So by the words that he spoke, by the works that he performed, that he did, Jesus is truly the one that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Not a liar, not a lunatic, but Lord, worthy of our worship. We're going to look at it, the statement of Jesus, I am the way, truth, and the life, in more details. He said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, some people say that all roads lead to Rome. It means that all religions eventually will help us to find our way to God. But Jesus did not say that. He said, no one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way. In a sense that he said, I am the only road. I am the only way to the Father. No one else can come to the Father except through me. All the other ways, all the other roads are dead ends. They lead to nowhere. I am the only way. You see, in the beginning, man was able to walk with God and talk with God in the Garden of Eden. But when they sinned, they were cast out of the garden. Their way to God was cut off. Because God is righteous and holy, he cannot tolerate sins. So they had no way to return to God. But Jesus came. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Jesus opened a new and living way that by which we can enter to the presence of God without fear and know that we are accepted because of his blood. Jesus said, I am the way. How about ourselves? When we were sin, deep in our sins transgression, we are like sheep that have gone astray. Each one of us has gone to our own way. But Jesus Christ opened the way for us. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples, the believers, were referred to the people of the way. They were not called Christians in the beginning. They were not called church in the beginning. They were called the people of the way. That is, in many places in the book of Acts, if you look through it, you'll find that that is how they have been addressed. Because they are known as the people who follow the way, which is the Lord Jesus. And these people are willing to forsake all to follow this way. They are even willing to lay down their own life for this way. Because they knew it is the only way to God. And then Jesus said, I am the truth. You know, this word truth was in the discussion that the Lord Jesus had with Pontius Pilate. In John chapter 18, verse 36 to 38, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And it's so sad and so such a waste of opportunity for Pilate to find out what truth is. But he just muttered, what is truth? And then he walked away. What a lost opportunity before someone who could point him to that truth. But he just totally neglected that opportunity. Jesus came to witness for the truth, but he is actually truth itself. Truth is a very important word in John's Gospel and in John's other writings. You know, it appears about 25 times in the Gospel of John, about 9 times in 1 John, 5 times in 2 John, and 6 times in 3 John. More than all the other New Testament writings, use of the word combined. It was important to him because by the time the old elderly John wrote his letters and wrote the Gospel, Gnosticism already crept into the church. The Gnostics say that Jesus was not the Savior, but merely a revealer of knowledge. They deny his deity. But John, with all his boldness, he declared in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." 1:17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Chapter 8, verse 31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, "If you abide in my word, you are in my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus is the truth, and Jesus can set you free if you abide in his words. Truth is opposite to falsehood, means that everything that Jesus says is true. We can take it by faith and believe it. If you do that, then those truths will set you free. Even after Jesus departed from here and ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And how was the Holy Spirit called? He was called the Spirit of Truth, because he will continue to do that work among the disciples in the church, to reveal that Jesus truly is the truth. Then Jesus said, "I am the life." He is the source and creator of eternal life. This word life also is a very important word that appears in many places of John's Gospel. But how do we know that Jesus' claim is true? John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." 5:26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Now there are some challenges that were set in the Bible. When Jesus said to you that "I am the life," he has a life that is beyond all understanding. But how do you receive this life from him? The only way to do that, according to what the Lord Jesus said to us, and also what Paul said, is that we must be willing to lay down our own life in order to have his life. Okay? We must be willing to lay down our own fleshly, worldly life in order to receive the eternal, spiritual, eternal life that the Lord Jesus is offering to us. Luke chapter 9, verse 23-24, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.'" John chapter 12, verse 25, "He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Colossians 3, verse 3 to 4. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Can you see that? In order to have Jesus' life, we must reject our old life. That is the only way. And our life, our identity of our own life, is now hidden in Christ. He is life, and our lives are hidden in Him. And when He appears, we shall also appear with Him in glory. That is our hope. That's where this life is leading to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 also said, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, these statements of the Lord Jesus and the writer of Acts in the Bible are making people feeling very uncomfortable. Because they say that today we are living in a pluralistic society. We have to learn to accept other people's belief. Now we should believe in all, we should tolerate all kinds of things, all kinds of beliefs. But Jesus is not going to have anything to do of that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. And there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. It is not arrogant. It is not narrow-minded. It is the truth. To prove that, He eventually went to the cross. He was the Son of God. He don't have to do that. But He did that. So that everything that He said, everything that He did, found its proof eventually on the cross, that He died for us, and that He truly is the only way, the truth, and the life. Because after He died, He rose from the dead. Christianity is not just a set of theories. Christianity is not a religion even. Christianity is the Lord Jesus Christ. You take Christ out of Christianity, you have nothing. You take the Lord Jesus out of what we believe, then we believe in emptiness. Do you know the Lord Jesus in that capacity of knowing that He is truly the way, the truth, and the life for you? And some of you may even have some frustration saying that, I want to believe, but I find it is so hard. I try to believe in Jesus, but I can't. Jesus understood our struggle. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. But there are few who find it. Luke 13, verse 23 to 25, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter, and will not be able. So my friends, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life. But I know there are some who struggle to understand this and to even appropriate it as something, a truth that is for your own life. The Lord Jesus understood that, but He said to you, strive. Struggle to enter through that narrow gate. It is narrow, it is hard, but you have to strive. How to strive? Not certainly not by our own efforts, because we have to come to understanding that it is not by our own effort can we enter into the presence of God. we have to reckon, we have to understand that we are dead in our sins and trespasses. By ourselves, we cannot enter to the presence of God. We are unable to produce any faith within ourselves to believe in God. We really need to give up our struggles. We really need to come to the Lord Jesus and to accept that only Him can we run to, can we embrace, and can give us life. And that in order to believe in Him as the way, the truth, and the life, it is only by His grace. We have to accept it as a gift from Him. There's no other way. And we know that if we are able to do that, lay down our own struggles, lay down our pride, lay down our unbelief, and come to the Lord Jesus and embrace Him and believe in Him that He is the only way. If we do that, then we will find that He will be right there with you and He will lead you all the ways of your life. In every little aspects of your life, that He may be all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, and we know that our words are limited, but we pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will continue to do His work in our hearts. May You make what was hard to understand to be easily understood in the spirit of all the hearers here. Lord, may You also speak to those who are maybe watching it on the live stream as well, that You will work in their hearts too. Lord, may Your name be glorified. We pray in Your precious name. Amen.